Chapter 2, Get To. To be laughed at is no great hardship to me. I can delight in scoffs and jeers. Caricatures, lampoons, and slanders are my glory. But that you should turn from your own mercy, this is my sorrow. Spit on me, but oh, repent. Laugh at me, but oh, believe in my master. Make my body as the dirt of the streets, but damn not your own souls. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I firmly believe that we must change our mindset about sharing our faith. We must view it as the awesome opportunity that it is and not as some sort of drudgery. It should be a joyful activity that we can't wait to do instead of the worst part of our week. So how can that be done? God impressed in my heart a few years ago a very simple but life-changing way. Often when we wake up late on Sunday morning and are tired, we think we have got to go to church. That is completely the wrong perspective. It is not that we have got to go to church, but that we get to go to church. It is a privilege to gather with fellow believers and worship our great God and Savior. By just changing a vowel, it goes from being a task to being an opportunity. There are believers in China who literally walk 6 hours to go to church, and they don't have mikchurch for 30 minutes. They thoroughly worship the Lord, then they walk 6 hours back home. We consider it suffering when we have to drive to church in the rain. We must develop the mindset that we get to go to church. We may realize at 11 o'clock at night that we haven't had a quiet time of prayer that day. It is not that we have got to pray, but we get to pray to the Almighty God of this universe. Isn't it amazing that the God who is in total control of this universe will take time out of His day to hear us pray to Him? He can't wait to communicate with us and listen to our heart. It is not a chore to pray, but an incredible opportunity. We should so desire to communicate with our Heavenly Father that we pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Sometimes we realize very late at night that we haven't read our Bible yet that day. We have the mindset that we have got to read the Bible, but we must not view it as a chore. It's not that we've got to read our Bible, but we get to read the Holy Word of God. We have the chance to nourish our spirit with eternal food at any point during the day that we choose. Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God," Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. One time I was speaking in California and staying at Lake Arrowhead Resort. Each night I would return late from my speaking engagements. The second night there, I got into a conversation with the night security guard. Luis was a very interesting young man. He was 20 years old and was struggling after a breakup with his girlfriend. He really thought she was the person he was going to marry. As we chatted, he told me that he had made a commitment to Christ when he was younger, but he wasn't into it as much as he should be. He couldn't go to church on Sunday because of his work schedule. I asked him if he had a Bible, which he did. I then asked if he had time to read at work. He replied that just about all he did at work was read. Lying on his desk were Rolling Stone, People, and Spin magazines. So I told him that if he brought his Bible into work and read just 3.5 chapters a day, he would be able to read the whole Bible in 1 year. Setting aside 15 to 30 minutes a day is all it takes to read God's Word once through each year. He said he would do that. The next two nights when I came in, Luis wasn't there. My last night in town, Luis was on duty, and we had another good chat. I asked him if he had brought his Bible in and read it. He told me that he did, and he had been reading it each night. He had read 20 chapters the first night alone. He said that since he closed the Bible two nights earlier, he had not had one jealous thought towards his girlfriend. Whatever situation you are facing, God's Word has the answer. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 assures us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What a privilege it is to get to read God's Word. Many times we have the mindset that we have got to tithe our money to God. We most definitely have the wrong mindset. It is not that we've got to tithe and give our money to the work of the Lord, but that we get to. As the economy has slowed recently, many pastors around the country are reporting that tithes are down significantly. All I know is that when times get tough, we ought to give more, not less. If I need to make a cut in my budget, it cannot be in the money that I give to the work of God. I have cheated God in the past with my tithes and offerings, but no more. A friend of mine supports 25 missionaries each month. When his finances got tight one month, he took out a loan to pay the missionaries that month. I was so humbled by what he did. He knows the importance of giving with all that you have to the work of the Lord. Luke 6:38 tells us, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." In Malachi 3, 8 through 11, God says, "Will a man rob from God? You have robbed me. But you say, 'In what way have we robbed you?' In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. And prove me on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it." Giving to God is a privilege. We must learn to view it that way. As I speak at different events, I find it interesting to observe the various styles of worshiping God. Apparently, many people consider it a chore to sing loud and from the heart to the Lord that we love. They appear to have the mindset that they have got to praise and worship God. Instead, they should realize that we get to worship the King of Kings with our entire being. Psalm 150 gives us a good example of how we should worship Him. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By the way, when we die, it is not that we have got to go to heaven, but we get to go to heaven. I am praying that the Holy Spirit will use this book to change your mindset from one in which you have got to share your faith to realize that you get to share your faith with all the lost people you can find until you get to heaven. When you die, it isn't that you've got to go to heaven by yourself. When you die and get to go to heaven, you get to bring as many people as you want to. We must have that mindset. There is something else we must realize as we share our faith, the value of other people in the eyes of Almighty God. What is a soul worth? God said that He made mankind in His own image and likeness, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Every soul is of infinite value to God. Once we understand that, it will keep us on the edge of our seat and on the tips of our toes to share the good news of Jesus with every lost soul on this planet. In Mark 16:15, Jesus tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. One great place to go out witnessing is at events such as state fairs. While at a state fair in Georgia, I had a great conversation with three wild-looking teenagers. They were tattooed, pierced, and wearing crazy-looking clothes. Near the end of the talk, I told them that they were fearfully and wonderfully made by God, that they had been knit together piece by piece in their mother's womb. I asked, "How special does that make you?" They responded, "Pretty special." I then asked, "Do you know that you were made in the image of the God of this universe? Do you know how special that makes you?" They replied, "Very special." I agreed, "You are very special. If anyone ever tells you any different, they are 100% wrong, and don't you ever forget that." You should have seen their eyes light up. I didn't just view the outward appearance, I saw the value of the inward person. Because I knew how special they were in the eyes of God, I wanted them to hear the truth about His Son, Jesus Christ. How do you see the people who walk past you every day? We must view them as valuable like the Lord does. Then there won't be anything we wouldn't do in order for them to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Going into the whole world to preach the gospel will be a joy. It may seem very intimidating to think about going out witnessing to strangers, but that's a great way to meet the lost, and it works. I was asked to do a retreat for the youth group of a large church. The youth pastor and I were planning to hold it at a local hotel and then take the teens out witnessing at a mall. But once the pastor caught wind of our plans, he was none too happy. He told the youth pastor that that type of witnessing doesn't work. Christians must build relationships first and not do cold call witnessing. The youth pastor then decided to take the teens to a retreat center far away from civilization and any actual lost people so they could learn how to share their faith. On Sunday afternoon after the retreat, one of the teens decided to go to the mall to witness and got into a conversation with an Iranian man. The man said, "It's very interesting that you're talking with me. One of the reasons I came to America was to find out more about Christianity. Matter of fact, I just bought a Bible yesterday." During the conversation, the teenager asked, "Have you ever been to a Christian church before?" He said no, so then the teen asked, "Would you like to come with me next week to my church?" The man said, "That would be great." Isn't it nice to know that that type of witnessing doesn't work? In the next chapter, I'll share with you something that the Lord impressed upon me, a truth that changed me from being a wimp for Jesus to being a much bolder witness for the Lord. It is also the truth that touches many people's lives when I speak around the country. It encourages the believers to step out of their comfort zone when it comes to witnessing and to step right into God's comfort zone. They are never the same again. Let's see what changes so many lives.